You're listening to a free version of the Stephcast from the Stephanie Miller Show. If you like what you're hearing, why not try a Stephcast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Somewhere. We're having some technical difficulties. Apparently. Okay. Hi, good morning. Hey, you know what? It's good because everything is awful anyway. And we have Glenn Kirshner on.
Uh-huh.
To tell us exactly the... Because he thinks justice is not coming, at least in the case of... Right? Was I right to wake up on the amount of Carnation Instant Bitch I was yesterday?
It's just delayed.
Okay.
Justice will be coming. Okay. It's just a little...
All right.
You're premature.
Yes, thank you.
And
thank you.
You need to delay it a little bit.
I have a lot of man meat to help me. Oh, I thought I had glaucoma. Oh, the lights just came on. Okay.
Now we can see it clearly. It's outdoor bike day, isn't it?
I thought it was a really bad day. Yes, this is why I'm wearing fluorescent bike clothes. And do I have a man meat Wednesday for you, despite our technical, troubles right now? We have Bob Seska, Glenn Kirshner, Malcolm Nance, and Hal Sparks.
Hump Days with Hal.
Legendary Comedian Week continues. Paula Poundstone on Monday. Mm-hmm. Louis Anderson yesterday. Hal Sparks today. What more do you need from us?
You're going to have two comedians tomorrow.
Can you? What do you need from us? Being able to hear us, perhaps? I don't know.
Some people can.
Really?
We're on TV.
We're on TV.
Yes.
Oh, hi, Free Speech TV.
And Political Voices Network. So if you go to stephaniemiller.com and scroll down a little bit, you can see where we are and you can see our happy faces.
Okay, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. But just not other... Okay. We'll just leave it there.
And, your Free Speech TV app on Apple TV or Roku.
Okay.
Yes.
Roku. There we go. All right. Rachel Maddow was also on a tear.
Yes.
About with the Justice Department. Mm-hmm. So I could not get Glenn Kirshner fast enough. We couldn't get him yesterday. So he's here today. Because I get it. Because I'm the happy clappy. That's why people tune in.
Yes.
Yes.
And it really is. It's depressing right now between like everything that just happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So what was the story? The January 6th commission, of course, has a giant Trump size hole in it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right. It's everything because, yes, right here, Brian Kloss tweets, I think people still haven't fully come to terms with the dystopian realization that the political base of one of two major U.S. political parties supports authoritarianism and doesn't inhabit a fact-based reality. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think the Founding Fathers thought of this. Our friend Joyce Vance, this is a perfect point, just for a moment on January 6th. She said, this report is as if we figured out how planes were able to fly into the World Trade Center and the Capitol without determining who flew them. Right?
It's true.
She's a smart world-class, smart legal lady.
And the gamble I think McConnell is taking right now is he keeps saying, oh, these trials. These trials are going to take years to get get to the bottom of this, and we're not going to know the full story about where it goes up the chain. They want to focus on the guys that were arrested because they were wearing cosplay.
Because it implicates not just their whole party, the leader, quote unquote, mm-hmm. of their party, their members of their party, their entire party, really.
Yeah.
And so was anyone shocked that infrastructure talks? What did we say? They're going to do this every time.
Yeah.
They're not negotiating in good faith. We do this thing, we negotiate, we weaken stuff, we lower the, money, we blah, blah, blah. And then, they budge not at all, and none of them will vote for it anyway.
Right.
So here we are, with infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people feel some glimmers of hope that I don't even understand what's happening now. There's two tracks. One of the tracks involves Cinema and Mansion, though, so I don't even know what that's about, but that the part of it could be passed through reconciliation in another part in a bipartisan way. I don't know. The sausage is ugly this morning.
Yes, this is why. This is why politics is called making sausage.
Right.
Because it's
ugly. It is.
It's ugly. Gross.
Ugly.
Lots of
That's ugly. Ugly.
Okay. Beaks and feet and ground up.
Okay. So I don't, we'll have to ask Glenn. As I said yesterday morning, it's above my pay grade.
Yeah.
I get that it's about protecting the office of the presidency for the future, but this is just wrong. It's the wrong decision legally. Mm-hmm. To continue to protect Donald Trump from a rape accusation, and it was not in the scope of his job to basically call her an ugly whore that he wouldn't rape.
Right.
Okay. Oh, and there's a new coronavirus variant on the rise in the U.S.
Delta.
Just as right, Republican governors are working mm-hmm. again. Right. Are trying to say you can't require vaccine everywhere, and actually penalizing companies that are requiring. Vaccine.
Yeah.
Like, who's the cruise? Wait, another cruise line did say, which one? Carnival, I think, said passengers do have to be vaccinated. But whatever one in Florida, to please Ron DeSantis, said, oh, okay, it's optional now. You can get on our floating Petri dish with no right proof of vaccination. So, yeah, this is, it's a bit of a depressing morning. That's why I'm wearing the brightest possible shirt. I am blinding myself with my bike shirt.
At least people can see it on TV.
Yes. This is the level of danger America is in, girl. The highly transmissible Delta variant is what they're calling it now of COVID is quickly spreading throughout the United States. The Delta strain was first identified in India,
right.
Accounts for 6% of new infections in the U.S. It has already become the dominant strain in the U.K., accounting for 60% of their new cases, raising concerns about a planned reopening that some experts fear could launch a third wave of the pandemic. We cannot let this happen in the U.S., Fauci said. Two doses of Pfizer, I assume the other, whatever, two, are effective against the Delta,
right.
Yeah, the Delta variant. But he also warned that not just one, you have to get your second dose.
Yep.
Biden tweeted, folks, the Delta variant, a highly infectious COVID-19 strain, is spreading rapidly among young people 12 to 20. In the UK, if you're young and haven't gotten your shot yet, it really is time. It's the best way to protect yourself and those you love. This is what I was afraid of, right? Like, India was doing great,
yeah.
And then they reopened too soon and had the big festivals and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, we have so many Republican governors absolutely working at cross purposes,
yeah.
Right? I mean, absolutely. I just am like, are they trying to kill people? I mean, what is...
Well, it's like they're trying to kill the COVID recovery is what they're trying.
Right.
It's like they're
right.
trying to throw a wrench in Biden's
same
success.
Thing. They don't want to know who's responsible for overthrowing the United States government, right? Because they know they're implicated in it. Exactly. They don't care if people die as long as they can go, oh, look, Biden's doing a bad... what's this latest delusional story from Captain Lady Pants? What, his golfing buddies fear his nutty obsession with reinstatement will doom him. But he thinks the reporting on Dr. Fauci's emails will put him back in the White House. What? I read his email. Like, what? It is just like, oh, this is it. Like, it doesn't work that way.
He thinks that he's looking for anything he can find to
right.
exonerate and take the blame off of himself. And it is all
right.
his fault.
And if, again, we keep saying if it was a lab leak in China, it happened on his watch.
Yes.
With him saying how transparent, with him vouching for China's
when
transparency and pulling our
yeah.
people out of Wuhan. That could have given us a heads up mm-hmm. about that. It's just the whole thing is so, I'm like, oh, this is the gotcha? That it might be a lab leak. Like,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, one of his golfing buddy. Imagine being one of those.
Oh, God.
He said to go around, one of them said to go around saying some magic fairy is going to put you back in the White House in the middle of someone else's term is just nutty. It's not nice to say that about Lindsey Graham. But my point is, this is just the kind, but this is what this first tweet I was reading, that we're just dealing with an entire group of people that is lost, detached from reality,
yeah.
that is not dealing, I don't know how you even negotiate with that. But for instance, this new study, how about this? They're always saying like, oh, because of the economy business, we got these lockdown. So lockdown states like California did better economically than the looser states like Florida, according to new COVID data. We know this out here in California,
yeah.
right? Lockdowns are no exception. One assumption many Americans seem to make is that more government limits gatherings, mandates masks, restricts business activity, and advises residents to stay home, the more economic damage it will do. One of the loudest of those voices, Ron DeSantis, who's forcing to get people on cruise ships unvaccinated.
Yep.
Some experts have quietly advanced a counterargument. The economic activity is mainly affected by the rising and falling severity of the pandemic itself. the more the virus seems to be under control, the more eager people seem to participate in the economy.
Huh.
What a weird idea.
Weird.
Yes, when people feel safe, mm-hmm. then they go, mm. okay. A new report says not only did big states with more stringent COVID measures in 2020 with fewer infections per capita, they also tended to post better economic growth numbers last year than states with fewer restrictions. In other words, California's economy actually fared better than Florida's. California had more stringent interventions and a lower infection rate than either Texas or Florida, two states to which it's often compared. California performed better with respect to GDP than either Texas or Florida. Second, the same pattern showed up across all big states. On average, the ones with more stringent interventions had better health outcomes and better economic outcomes. Right? It's a lot this morning.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot. Yes. Okay.
And there's still more to come.
Right. But Hunter Biden called a white guy the N-word somewhere, and so
supposedly.
Someone on Fox... yes, we don't even know. He called a white friend an N-word. I don't know. In a something... Did I mention to you that Hunter Biden is not president? And uh-huh. I don't... Okay.
This is going to ruin his career as a president.
So Leo Terrell went on Fox News on Hannity and said the Bidens are the Klan family. The Biden family is the Klan family, and Joe is the Imperial Wizard.
Uh-huh.
Based on some text, something, supposedly...
Crazy.
Called a white guy.
We used to work with Leo Terrell, remember?
Yes,
that?
We did. Yes, we certainly did.
Was he
did.
Always like this?
Yes.
I can't remember him
I
being
believe that
this
he was.
Bad.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. As I mentioned, Oh, and also Joe Biden, or Joe Manchin, remains unswayed despite meeting with all the civil rights leaders, who he said he had a very, very good meeting with. Mm-hmm. Did he change his mind? No.
No.
He is for the John Lewis Voting Act. But will that pass with the filibuster? No, it will not, which he knows. So he is against H.R. 1 that I believe almost 80% of West Virginians are for.
Yes.
The For the People Act.
Mm-hmm.
But he's for the John Lewis Act, which he knows. By the way, has anyone told him that Mitch McConnell blew up the filibuster to get Supreme Court judges?
Yes.
Okay.
He knows.
I'm just reviewing.
I think
he's okay with that.
He knows.
Okay, so Joe Biden's infrastructure talks, this shocked. I was shocked. His infrastructure talks with Republicans collapsed. Shelley Moore Caputo, Republican of West Virginia, said, I spoke with the president this afternoon. He ended our infrastructure negotiations. Right, because he came down, I don't know, $11 bajillion.
$11 bajillion.
And they're like, how about a penny more or something? It was close to that. Democrats are pursuing a two-path proposal focusing on new talks between a group of senators from both parties at the same time. Chuck Schumer says they are pursuing reconciliation. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Might be some ugly sausage at the end of the day. I don't know. It may be part of the bill that will pass, will be bipartisan. Part of it will be through reconciliation. He said we're not going to sacrifice the bigness and boldness in this bill. Well, I don't know how they're going to accomplish that. Okay. Was there anything else? Did I miss anything? Major right voting rights? No.
Computer says
okay.
No.
Okay.
A cicada attacked Joe Biden this morning.
Did the locusts are here already?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, great! A new strain of COVID, and the locusts are here.
Yes.
You say? Oh, you know, and I wait. Did you see this story?
What could go
wrong here? Right when there's a new strain of coronavirus attacking, Russian scientists have revived a 24,000-year-old worm, and it's reproducing.
Yeah.
What?
I've seen this movie.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Where the scientists go, this will be fun.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad. Russian scientists have revived a 24,000-year-old microscopic worm that has been frozen in Siberian permafrost, and now the creature is reproducing. What could go wrong?
Oh, I can
the creature is called a rotifer, has a brain and everything, and can reproduce without a partner, which is exactly what it did after being revived, according to the scientists that fed it out, who thought it out and fed it.
Why would you feed... A 24,000-year-old worm.
It's worse than that. The team published their findings this week, which apparently included experimenting on the poor worm by slowly refreezing and unfreezing it.
Oh, my God. Now you're saying
the author said, what being thawed out after 24,000 years and then messed with by Russian scientists does to a worm? No one knows, but now it's pissed. Now it's pissed. And it's reproducing on its own.
You could learn a thing or two from the worm if it can reproduce on its own.
Wow. That's a lot this morning.
It's called parthenogenesis.
Travis.
by the way.
Oh! Thank you for Chris. Thank you for that.
Reproducing without
okay.
All right.
I'm gonna need a lot of man meat. Okay.
We're gonna need a lot of strong men. We're gonna need a lot of bourbon.
Okay. I'm gonna. Okay. Bob Seska will be first in my lineup of. Ow. Then Glenn Kirshner, Malcolm Nance, Hal Sparks, all coming up on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Isn't everything great?
It's great to stay up late.
Well, okay. We're on Free Speech TV and also on, if you go to stephaniemiller.com, on Progressive Voices.
The Political Voices.
Political Voices.
Network. That's where you can see our live stream. Or you can freespeech.org or the Free Speech app at Roku and Apple TV.
Okay. All right, so we are on live.
Yes.
Although some places are running reruns, but we are here. We are here. Like the Who's in Whoville, we are here.
Right. If you just want to listen to the
Facebook
audio.
Our Facebook page has been hacked.
Yes.
Presumably.
Yes. If you just want to listen to the audio, you can just go to the browser on your phone and go to stephaniemiller.com and listen through the Political Voices Network.
There you go. And Karen in Chicago was already in a state this morning. Hello, Karen.
I am in a state, but you know what? I turned on WCPT Chicago and heard Jody, and I knew immediately that I needed to pivot to Political Voices.
Yes.
Thank you. You are the smartest girl in class.
Well, I've been doing this a little while. So, anyway, I am so depressed about what Rachel Maddow was reporting on.
Yeah.
You know, apparently people are above the law. I don't understand why our tax dollars are being spent to defend Donald Trump. I know that they're saying that, because the defamation happened while he was in office. It's basically they're defending the office of the presidency. But
yes.
Enough is enough. People are getting disgusted, and people are starting to tune it out because, once again, we're seeing wealthy, powerful people get away with it. The filibuster, and you mentioned, Steph, that Mitch McConnell blew up the filibuster to get justices approved. Why can't we do that? I'm not understanding this.
And just yesterday, Mitch McConnell alone, right? I'm not for the John Lewis voting rights. Oh, we don't need that. Oh, and we don't need a January 6th commission. It's all that. Everything's good. I mean,
It's maddening, and it's just like, I know somebody on Twitter was like, why are we blaming the Democrats? It's the Republicans, and it is true, but at the same time, what can we do? We have been screaming that people need to get out and vote, and for what? I'm starting to feel really frustrated and hopeless.
Yeah.
What can we do?
We certainly need more Democrats in the Senate so that Manchin and/or Sinema don't have, because this is absurd, particularly in a state that 80% of the people are for the things that he's voting against.
Yep.
Right?
Right. Exactly. And I just see, this is the thing. Yes, we have the power to get people out and tell everybody, get out and vote. We got to get more Senate seats. But when you have states that can literally just overturn the results.
Yeah.
How do we tell people that you still got to get out and vote?
And that's the most important thing that we've been saying, and I think Rachel said last night, is voting rights. Mm-hmm. Where is the DOJ? They sent one letter to Arizona saying this may be, violating federal statute.
Yeah.
Do something. Like, that's the most important thing, right? Beyond even the E. Jean Carroll case is voting rights. Like, are we just going to sit here and let this happen, right? I remember I said this, Chris, early on in your crazy ex-state. I was like, how is this legal? How can they? You can't take custody of the actual ballots and then.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never said that they weren't crazy there.
Oh, no, I know.
Okay.
But that's the first thing I said is, how is this legal?
Right.
What started in Arizona? And we made fun of it, but we're like, this is really dangerous.
Yes.
29 minutes after the hour. Bob Seska, next.
We'll be right back. Hey, wait.
Stephanie Miller.
You're not a jaguar.
She's a cougar.
Ow. You know why? You know why I make Wednesday Outdoor Bike Day?
Why?
You know. You know. Oh, God. So I can attract a big man-meat hunk of cyclist who keeps teasing me with his Instagram pictures. Speaking of dreamy hunky men, why? Bob Seska joins us now.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special broadcast.
You're cute and I love you, Bob Seska.
Where are you coming from?
Bob's calling us from Washington.
You Seska thing.
Go ahead.
Washington, D.C.
Just follow the money.
Would you like to unzip my fluorescent bike wear, Bob?
Oh, God.
Yes, let me examine your chamois, please. I don't know. I can't believe the first thing out of my mouth was that today.
Yes.
All right, I'm done.
Right,
good night.
Goodbye. Good night.
Bye.
Wow, Bob, everything is awful this morning, isn't it? We're having technical difficulties. The Justice Department, I don't know if Justice is dead or if it's on life support, but we'll ask Glenn Kirshner in just a little bit. You know, I basically did a much more lowbrow opening segment about this yesterday before Rachel's thing last night, but you know me, I'm happy clappy, and I want to believe that, you know, justice is coming and, you know, give him a second. He just got all his lieutenants in at the DOJ, but what the actual, Bob, what is your take on what is going on? Because as Rachel was saying, it's not just one thing. It's not just continuing to defend, you know, Trump or the office of the presidency in the E. Jean Carroll case, but it's the, you know, are we going to go after these fraudits starting in Arizona? It's probably about to spread, right, elsewhere to Pennsylvania. Yeah. Isn't it already Georgia, wherever else?
Yeah.
I mean, this, Bob, you've been saying this. This is, it's pathetic and he's a buffoon. Take this seriously. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we read for a couple of years there during the tail end of the Trump administration that he was purging the federal government of anyone who was disloyal to him. So it may take some time to weed those people out of the mix. But that's not to defend Merrick Garland. I think what's going on as far as not only the E. Jean Carroll case, which is just absurd, why the DOJ was tasked with defending Trump in the first place. Is beyond me. Now, I mean, that started under Bill Barr, I guess. Yeah. But also you have the OLC memo that they were resisting releasing, the OLC memo that led Bill Barr to, you know, release that letter and completely C-blocked the entire Mueller report. I mean, that was something that we should probably know about. And, you know, quite honestly, we've seen other OLC memos. It's not like it's being handed down from some god on Olympus. I mean, it's not some sort of top secret thing. So I don't understand what's going on at DOJ, other than to say what everyone else is saying, which is that, well, at least they're not being political. But I don't know. Which side are they being not political?
That's what
about?
I said yesterday. Biden's taking this too far, the separation of the White House and the DOJ, right? Because this is, Rachel said the same thing like I've been saying. You can't create this precedent. It's not about going back to the past and being vindictive. That's what Trump did. Right. This is really about, like, you. How can you create this precedent that a future attorney general can do this or a future Justice Department?
Even Barack Obama, who's one of the biggest institutionalists in American political leadership right now, even Barack Obama's gone, well, geez, I thought there were guardrails. There clearly aren't guardrails anymore. I think Merrick Garland needs to learn that same lesson. Merrick Garland needs to learn that we're not in normal politics anymore in the United States.
Yeah.
We've careened off into some sort of, tangent in the space-time continuum, like Doc Brown puts up on the chalkboard in Back to the Future. We're in some weird timeline now.
Joe Manchin thinks he's saving democracy. He actually said that he's saving by keeping the filibuster and destroying our democracy. I mean, up is down this morning, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
it really is. And we need to calibrate how we deal with politics in this country based on the fact that we're in an existential battle now between, I hate to use terms like battle, but for lack of a better term, against fascist idiocracy, which one election could determine whether that happens. And so this is more than just what the sort of the normal political things that we used to do in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. We're into some sort of new territory. But I caution everyone to make sure to be specific about who we're attacking and who we're pissed off about. Right. Because I'm seeing a lot of, well, F the Democrats, F all of them. I mean, they're all screwing us. Why?
Yeah.
And I'm seeing quite a bit of that. Yeah. And we have to bear in mind, too, that when we're talking about an entity like the United States Congress, one chamber already, the House Democrats, have passed the For the People Act and all these things that are on the wish list this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So as we're moving closer and closer to 2022, we should bear in mind that the flies in the ointment are people like, you know, when it comes to DOJ, Merrick Garland, when it comes to Congress, we're talking about Manchin and Sinema and the entire Republican caucus. I mean, we're not really talking about Democrats.
Yeah, the president made a point when he said people are saying, why can't Biden get this or that done? He said, well, I have however many votes. And he said a couple of senators that tend to vote more with the other side. And I mean, you know, and I was going to say, well, the Republicans don't have a Manchin and Sinema. I guess they would say they do. They have Murkowski and Romney and whatever. So I guess they do. But, you know, that's how we got the Affordable Care Act. John McCain, obviously, you know. But you tweeted, the Republicans are demolishing the Republic brick by brick. Can we please stop playing this game where we constantly debate what's a distraction and what's not? Assume it's all dangerous and act accordingly. Nothing is worth ignoring. Fight back or get out of the way. And I think you're right, Bob. As frustrated as we are this morning with everybody, one party believes in democracy still. One party does not. One party believes in autocracy, and that's where they're going. So you're right. We don't have the luxury to just go, oh, F everybody, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but go ahead.
No, we can't do that because liberals have a tendency to, you know, pick up on vibes like that. And then suddenly everyone's going, ah, F those Democrats. I'm staying home in 22. We deserve this. They're all the parties are just the same. And, you know, it's the same old script that we've seen many, many times going into a midterms. Oliver Willis, some time ago, made a great observation on Twitter. And this is something that I always remember, which is that whenever we elect a Democratic president, liberals tend to go, well, I guess everything's fixed now. We can kind of go back to our lives and not worry about politics anymore.
Right.
Well, that's not the case. We're not. No. Let me please flag anyone off, disabuse you of this ridiculous notion that everything is fixed now because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are in the White House. Yeah. It's not the case at all. I mean, we're talking about a very thin membrane between democracy and authoritarianism in this country. And all we got to do is look at Georgia and Texas and Florida and all these places where these election laws are being passed.
But, you know, Bob, do we, again, I obviously need to fight differently because here we go with Kamala Harris. They're all over. How could she won't go to the border? She won't go to the border. First of all, she's been to the border.
Right.
She was the senator from California. There's a million, you know, but because Republicans do their stupid photo ops at the border and they're camouflaged looking like they're, you know, whereas she's like, I'm working on the systemic problems here in Guatemala, the root causes of, right? I mean,
the reason why people come to the border.
Because we're not performance artists. Oh, she hasn't been to the border. Like she really needs to go stand at the and stare at the border for a photo op to understand what's happening with immigration.
I wish you would say that. I wish you would say, you know what? I'm not a performance artist like some of these other people are.
Right.
I'm actually working on the issues
and the
getting
root
things
causes.
Done
right.
for the
yes.
people of Guatemala and for the people of the United States.
Right.
Exactly. We don't need to go and do a dog and pony show like Ted Cruz and John Cornyn did some time ago. That was just a performance. You're exactly right, Chris. This is about leadership. And it's, you know, right now, Kamala Harris, I mean, I didn't watch the press conference yesterday, but it may have behooved her to say something to the effect of, well, you know, the Republicans want optics. What we're giving you is leadership. We're here in Washington doing the job of the federal government. We're on top of this. We don't need to go down and pretend to be patrolling the
while
border
you scream,
with our...
But while you scream border crisis, which is the exact same thing Trump left us, but I guess was not a crisis. Crisis then, right? So
the recycled the old nonsense about radical Islam, well, you know, that everyone is attacking Barack. Why doesn't he say it was radical Islam? Why doesn't he say that? Well, you know what? Because he's actually tackling the problem. He's actually doing the work. He doesn't need to do the performance art
Bob, as you frequently talk about on your show and write about, it's just as we've opened the show saying we're dealing with just a people on the other side. They're detached from reality or any set of facts. I mean, you know, you were talking about, I was just talking about the new variant of COVID is here. And Republican governors, of course, are working at cross purposes, you know, trying to pass laws that you can't ask people if they're vaccinated or can't ensure your passengers on cruise ships. Someone said, would you go on a cruise ship with unvaccinated people, and you said I wouldn't go on a cruise with people.
Well,
I'm with you on that as that. Well. I'm with you.
Yeah, no. Sorry. A but floating I mean, hotel with a bunch of a-holes is not my idea of fun.
They're the party of this lady. I saved this for the lady that anti-vaxxer that just told Ohio lawmakers that COVID vaccine magnetizes people and stuff sticks to your forehead forks. And,
yeah.
Hang on.
Some of the information that I think had been discussed in your podcast related to EMF frequencies.
That was a thought.
And
it was you, because now, because right now that? We're all kind of hypothesizing. I mean, what is it that's actually being transmitted that's causing all of these things? Is it a combination of the protein, which now we're finding has a metal attached to it? I'm sure you've seen the pictures all over the internet of people who've had these shots and now they're magnetized.
What?
They can put a key on their forehead. God. It sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them and they can stick because now we think that there's a metal piece to that. There's been people who've long suspected that there was some sort of an interface yet to be defined, an interface between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers.
Oh!
Not proven yet.
Okay.
But we're trying to figure out what is it that's being transmitted to these unvaccinated people.
Terrible. Yeah, what is the, where is that? Where's my spoon for my tea? Where is that spoon?
I was
looking for a clank sound. Okay. Wow.
Bro science is going to kill us all.
You've seen that, Bob. Don't you have, you know,
you've seen the pictures on the internet.
Forks and your keys sticking. Where did I put my car keys? Oh, there they are on my forehead.
Yeah. It's really super convenient now. There's also talk about how the vaccine allows you to time travel. I don't know if you noticed that one, too.
But there are
some Q weirdos.
Fantastic.
Talking about how. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's good news.
You talked about the COVID, you know, Abbott saying, I'm going to sign a law that prohibits any business operating in Texas from requiring vaccine passports or any vaccine information. Texas is 100% open. You said, and if there's a COVID spike in Texas, it'll be Dr. Fauci's fault or Joe Biden's fault or both. The benefits of being part of a fishbowl Trumpism cult equals you can do stupid and blame the other side when things go sideways and your people will believe you. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's the whole explanation as to what's going on with the Red Hat Republicans right now. They've got this advantage where they've got a fishbowl of people, and whatever they pump into that fishbowl, those people are going to accept it without question whatsoever. And so that allows them to get away with whatever counterfactual nonsense they're spewing from, you know, on a day-to-day basis, whether it's something that Trump said or something they're repeating that Trump said. And so it's like it's really liberating for them in a sense. They have no reason whatsoever to be tethered to the truth anymore. Not that they ever really were.
I mean,
but now there's even less of an incentive to do that because all their people will just accept whatever they say. It doesn't matter.
Captain Crazy Pants, and by the way, I admire your restraint on the whole Pantsgate thing of Donald Trump. But you did just say the real question is why an alleged billionaire buys his suits off the irregular rack at the Wrangler outlet. That is whatever was happening is something. I guess it had a zipper, but it was very wrinkly and urine stained.
I think someone photographed their TV screen and then it got compressed again. So it looked like the zipper was erased. But I love that we spent 24 hours talking about Donald Trump's crotch.
Well, because it's part of his obvious decline, right? Trump's solution to cyber attacks is to stop using computers. He said, when you put things on the internet and all these machines, it literally is like, again, just grandpa.
Those things.
Grandpa, did you let me see your pants? And no.
Yeah,
I mean, just the Italian satellites flipping boats. Like, there's new crazy every day.
Which is why it's important, I think, to talk about Donald Trump's ridiculous pants. Because, I mean, look, he's a billionaire. Donald Trump claims to be a billionaire. He's not, I don't know that he's an actual billionaire, but he claims to be one.
Right.
So why does he have such awful suits? This is something that Chez used to talk about on my old show years and years ago. Like, what the hell is going on with his absurd suits? Is he getting his suits tailored to disguise his shape or I don't know what's going on?
Well, think it's a fupa, but it's also a girdle and a Carol, according to Noel Kassler, there is a girdle and a diaper.
Right.
I assume the diaper first and then there is the fupa, you know, the mangina and a fupa there's a lot going on down there, Bob. A lot.
Right, right. Well, someone photoshopped Trump's pants onto Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz.
Yes, because they'll all start wearing pants. The urine stains wrinkled pants.
And then he's got the cat whiskers, those wrinkles where Who was giving him a lap dance? What was going on with his?
That is when he sits down and the fupa crushes the material between his fupa and his thighs.
Okay.
Okay. Is it? Oh, you know what? The word I was thinking of for that. What are you saying? Fupa? Because the word I learned was frumpkin. That bulge right there below the belt is called a frumpkin.
Okay. Well,
but
whatever
I'm not sure.
Okay, so, you're excited.
That is East Coast vernacular.
I know you're just excited about his tour with Bill O'Reilly, which you are calling the Monsters of Undisclosed Settlements Out of Court Tour.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Prepare for more lawsuits along those lines to come from this ridiculous tour. This tour has produced nothing of value whatsoever. It's like those tours, like G. Gordon Liddy used to go around touring with Lanny Davis, and they used to debate. And it was just performative debate. Nothing was ever resolved. It was professional wrestling. I win this time, and you can win tomorrow night. And that was how it was always.
I could listen to your G. Gordon Liddy stories forever. He called you high pockets. Hey, high pockets.
High pockets. Yeah.
Because you're tall.
I was high pockets.
Clever.
I'm so proud that the mastermind of the Watergate break-in referred to me as high pockets.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
All right, Bob, best of luck to you. Best of luck to you.
Best of luck to us all.
Yeah.
I needed the superhero of the Stephanie Miller Cinematic Universe today. All right. And the Bob Seska Show, the fantastic show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Love you, Bob.
Oh, thank you.
See you
thank
next
you.
Week.
Love you, too. Mwah. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
50 minutes after the hour, we roll along from one hunk to another. Glenn Kirshner coming up. Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, this is the best radio show no one can hear this week. Can I just say?
Yeah.
All right. We're having some technical difficulties. We're on Free Speech TV. You can go to stephaniemiller.com.
Yep.
Right.
You can go to stephaniemiller.com, scroll down a little ways, and you'll see the Political Voices Network live feed. Hit play, and you'll be able to see us. But I think we are still on the Free Speech TV app on Apple TV and Roku as well.
We don't know if this is squirrel-related, Jamie-related, or a Russian hack like of our Facebook page, which we still don't have back. You know what? Legendary Comedian Week continues. I mean, come on, bitches. Mm-hmm. Paula Poundstone in studio on Monday. Louis Anderson yesterday. Hal Sparks today. Who's coming up Friday, Travis?
A gentleman by the name of Louis Black.
Louis Black to end Legendary Comedian Week. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay, speaking of Beltway comics, Sue in Rockville. Hello, Sue. You're on. Yeah, there we go.
Good morning.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. First of all, Chris, I need your help. I want him to send a message to the coward who emailed Stephanie to complain and threw me under the bus alongside. Hey, coward, email is easy. Call the show. Let Chris talk to you.
Yeah, oh, wait, exactly. I forgot. I have a complaint letter for Chris. This is good because usually it's only about me and no one else takes shrapnel. Okay, hang on. Sorry, Sue. Let me just do this quickly. Sheila, a question for you. Why is Chris sitting in usually your guest chairs that come on your show? It doesn't look correct. He's part of your crew. He looks to me like he wants to be relevant. He's only staff. Make him take a chair closer to Shane when a guest...
Shane?
When a guest comes on your show. She did not like the placement when Paul Poundstone was here, and you need to sit closer to Shane. This is obviously
Shane.
A very big fan that listens all the time.
Wow.
He knows.
We can always tell the loyal ones. But I do have a serious recommendation for
Stop
people
Stop trying
today.
To be relevant, staff.
I am so sorry.
Staff riffraff.
Staff
don't you agree, Shane?
I can't speak for Shane.
I love Shane. I think he's maybe the best thing. Steph?
Yes.
My darling.
Yeah.
Very quickly, I'm asking everyone today, after Rachel's segment last night, we were all very disheartened, very, annoyed.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to contact, because what Karen said, this is our money. They work for us. This is to protect the laws. Either the rule of law applies to all of us, or is the DOJ corrupted beyond repair? Because if so, we'll just call it the Department of Injustice. But you can go to justice.gov, to the contact form, and ask them, why are you protecting Putin's puppet? Why are you protecting GOP traitors? let them know. Go on whatever social media platform, but also directly email them, call them, and say, why are you not protecting
us? Call Joe Manchin and repeatedly ask him, and media, listen to me. Don't let him talk anywhere without saying, why are you against something 80% of West Virginians are for? Whether be it infrastructure, and voting rights. Yeah.
And the people, we are bipartisan. 67%, 70%. The people want the Biden agenda. Why are Senate Democrats and the Justice Department the only two groups that seem to fail to realize that this Republican Party is a clear and present danger to American democracy?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yep. And we will ask Glenn Kirshner that very question next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes. No, not really. We should have maybe rethunk that theme song for this morning.
Yes.
What time did I start screaming, get me Glenn Kirshner yesterday? I believe at the top of the show yesterday.
Yeah.
So I've been screaming it for 24 hours. Thank God. Former U.S. Attorney Glenn Kirshner is here. Get me Glenn Kirshner.
Glenn Kirshner.
Former 30-year federal prosecutor Glenn Kirshner.
I can listen to him talk all day.
Who has answered the call for his country once again.
Glenn Kirshner.
MSNBC legal analyst Glenn Kirshner.
On the Stephanie Miller Show all day.
Piercing blue-eyed Glenn Kirshner.
We got the Glenn Kirshner now, and I feel okay.
Oh. Good morning, Captain America. Hello.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, guys.
I already know what you think. You tweeted, because I follow you like a white on rice on Twitter. You said, today America mourns DOJ's decision in the E. Jean Carroll case. A president can sexually assault a woman, then lie about it, defaming the victim, and DOJ just announced it will defend the president and assist him to avoid being held accountable for his conduct. This is disgraceful. Yeah, you know me. I'm always looking for the silver lining, the happy clappy, you always counsel patience. But as you just said to us, obviously off air, I'm not a legal analyst like you, but this is just wrong. They're just wrong legally. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, so I read the 25, 26-page filing from the Department of Justice, and they have a legal basis to take the position they took, but they didn't have to take that position. There was no controlling precedent or case law that said, no, the DOJ must take this position. This was a discretionary decision by the Department of Justice, and it exercised its discretion in re-victimizing a victim. And I'll tell you, I cannot get behind that. This was the wrong decision that sets a really bad precedent, because now a president can victimize somebody in his personal life, get elected, lie about that person, mock that person from the Oval Office, defame that person, hurt that person's reputation, and get away with it. The Department of Justice will protect him in all of that. That's just dead wrong.
Yeah. Well, I know we were talking, you saw Rachel's, I started yesterday's show, loaded for bear on this, and obviously Rachel went further about the Department of Justice in general, because I know you've said previously you have a lot of faith in Merrick Garland, but it does feel like it's not just one front, right? It's not just E. Jean Carroll. I said immediately when this Arizona fraud it started, I'm like, how is this legal? And so far they've just sent a letter saying what you're doing, is against federal. What is your take on what's going on? Because it's also about, reporters' phone records and all that. They're going to continue the Trump administration policy. What is your take in general, Glenn, on what's happening at DOJ?
My take is the Department of Justice at the moment is suffering from bipolar disorder, and that is not to make light of mental conditions at all. But on the one hand, they are bringing, pattern and practice investigations of the Minneapolis Police Department, the Louisville Police Department. They're bringing civil rights prosecutions against four police officers who were already being prosecuted by the state. out in Minnesota. So they didn't have to do that to come in and clean up a state's inaction. The state was already doing the right thing. They did the right thing on top of it as a matter of principle. They got search warrants for Rudy Giuliani's stuff because there's evidence of crime in Rudy Giuliani's stuff. All of that is a wonderful track to be on. But then they're on this other track, this track where they're opposing Judge Jackson, saying, release a DOJ memo so you can all see that Bill Barr is a liar. They said, let's dismiss the case for the violent clearing of the protesters in Lafayette Park. There are real victims there. And DOJ weighed in against the interests of those victims in favor of the interests of the institutions. And now with this most horrific E. Jean Carroll position that they're taking, I feel like they're bipolar. They're on these two different tracks right now. They need to get on their meds, and they need to get on one track, and they need to head toward justice. It's not that dang hard.
Yeah. Well, and Glenn, you obviously, one of the big things is January 6th that you've been talking about. I don't know if you still feel this way because you're on record as saying you think the DOJ is building to charges against Trump. You can feel it in your bones. Boy, I hope so. You said the date for insurrection was chosen by Donald Trump. They were incited to violence by Donald Trump. I think you all have all the building blocks you need for a charge of inciting insurrection against Donald Trump. And as to seditious conspiracy, they're still building to that. You say the leader said, I want you to come to D.C. It'll be wild. I want you to assemble. Now that you're here, I'm going to lift you up here. My mouthpieces, Don Jr., Mo Brooks, Giuliani, they're going to tell you things like go down there and have trial by combat, fight for your vote, because they're in that building stealing it. Now, I, as insider-in-chief, am telling you to go down to the Capitol and stop what's going on in that building. So you said, I've just described a very compelling series of facts that warrant criminal charges of Donald Trump, and that's where I believe this Department of Justice is headed. They are building to charges against Donald Trump. I can feel it in my bones. You also said, I hope they don't prove me wrong. Has the events of the last couple of days changed your mind on this?
No, and here's why. So if you're going to be an institutionalist, and people will say, the positions the Department of Justice has been taking recently in the E. Jean Carroll case, the Lafayette Park case, Lafayette Square case, those are to protect the prerogatives of the institution. Okay, if you're going to be an institutionalist, then you also need to protect the institution from a criminal president that launched an insurrection to overthrow the incoming government. Be an institutionalist, then go all out and be an institutionalist and do the right thing on the insurrection front. You can't have it both ways. Here's the problem, Steph. I'm afraid that some people's view of being an institutionalist means defending the president no matter what he does, and we are thereby defending the institution. If you have a criminal president, that's just a flat out wrong argument. I still have hope that they're going to get to the right place, especially because of what I see coming out of the U.S. Attorney's Office and the prosecutions of these insurrectionists and the criminal organizations like the Proud Boys.
Well, obviously, this is the headline today. The Senate report, Vanity Fair, you probably saw it. The Senate report on January 6th has a gaping Trump-size hole, which, of course, right, there is no, this had to be Republican approved, as I understand it. So, of course, right, there was no, this is what Vanity Fair writes. The new details the panel revealed speak to the necessity of further investigation, perhaps one like the 9/11 style commission Republicans just filibustered last month. But the report's own shortcomings highlight the difficulty that commission would face if a probe involves input for a Republican whose party enabled and in some cases actively instigated the attack. It is likely doomed to be watered down, which is what this report is, right? There's just nothing,
yeah,
no mention of Trump or anybody is at fault for this, right?
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with the Vanity Fair's observations, but I'm not sure I agree with their conclusions. There are two things that still give me some comfort, even with that 128-page Senate report about the insurrection. The great big Trump hole in it is understandable because I'm confident the Department of Justice is investigating Trump's criminal responsibility for inciting the insurrection. So that's not something that, frankly, Congress should be taking up and reporting out publicly at this point. But here's where I find a little bit of hope in that 128-page report. The last 22 pages of it, Steph, were a verbatim account of Donald Trump's speech. That's foreshadowing, because that is them saying, here's the problem. The last 22 pages, it's what Donald Trump said. Now, Department of Justice, do your job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you saw this yesterday. Several congressional Republicans went to bat for the rioters once again, pressing Merrick Garland on whether they're being treated fairly. I mean, I feel like I'm in the Upside Down, don't you? Of course, all the usual suspects, Ron Johnson, Ted Cruz, Tommy Tuberville, Mike Lee, Rick Scott, asked Garland to provide information related to what they assert is unequal justice being meted out to those involved in the Capitol attack compared with other mass unrest, destruction, and loss of life. They're referring to the peaceful, hugely peaceful Black Lives Matter protests protesting racial injustice. Yes, conflating the racial justice protests with the insurrection's Capitol riot is difficult to take seriously, but it's quickly become a staple of Republican politics. I mean, so
we could add another name to that list that you just rattled off. It would be Vladimir Putin or Moscow, because that's the way we ought to start referring to him. Vladimir Putin, Republican, Moscow.
Yeah, yeah.
They are lockstep with what Vladimir Putin has been saying about the protests.
Yeah.
So and of course, when you have members of Congress say this really wasn't an insurrection, excuse me, the insurrectionists who are being prosecuted have said, and this has been related in documents filed in court, we were doing an insurrection. That's what this was. So the perpetrators are calling it an insurrection.
Yeah.
And they're saying we did it at Donald Trump's insistence, direction, command. So that's why you can't ignore the fact that Donald Trump is the inciter in chief. He's legally responsible for what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. And how our Department of Justice don't, we're done.
Well, Glenn, I know I saw a lot on Twitter about what, you know, why doesn't Merrick Garland appoint a special prosecutor, whether it's Sally Gates or, yeah, Sally Yates, Glenn Kirshner would be my personal choice. But what kind of tracks? Because it shouldn't just be the Justice Department, right? I mean, it just obviously, I think we're all a little shaken about the Justice Department this morning. But how should January 6th be investigated? On what tracks,
so,
in your opinion?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, it would be great if there was still an independent counsel statute on the books, because that would take it out from under the DOJ entirely and make it truly independent. Unfortunately, that law lapsed. So we don't have an independent counsel statute. We have a special counsel statute, a la Robert Mueller, but we all know that remains under the control of the Department of Justice. Here's why I don't think we see a special prosecutor. Usually a special prosecutor is when the Department of Justice has to investigate its own party, right?
Yeah.
And right now, Merrick Garland's Department of Justice doesn't have to investigate Joe Biden, its own party. So that's why I don't think we're seeing a special prosecutor appointed. We can't appoint an independent counsel because we don't have a law that enables us to do it. I am with Eric Swalwell, though, who has been calling all along for a presidential crimes commission, a special unit in the Department of Justice, and they look into all presidential crimes and crimes by cabinet members, family members, members of Congress, and you get your arms around the whole thing and you see where the evidence leads you.
Yeah. Well, and you also said DOJ holds press conference on Colonial Pipeline case, remains silent on investigation into those who funded, organized, and incited the deadly insurrection. DOJ needs to update and reassure the American people because justice matters. I think that's the other thing, is we feel just a lot in the dark about this stuff, right? Like, is justice coming? What are they doing? What's the update on this, you know, worst attack we've seen on our Capitol since, what, the Civil War or ever?
And listen, as a former career prosecutor, I am all for keeping ongoing investigations under wraps, right? You don't want to tip anybody off. You don't want to talk to the public about what you're doing in a covert capacity when you're investigating crime. But with a Colonial Pipeline case, that's an investigation that is ongoing, believe me. And the Department of Justice made the determination that it is important for the public to know and be reassured that what we are doing regarding these cyber attacks are being handled professionally, and we're here protecting you folks. Well, for gosh sakes, can you please give us updates on the insurrection investigation and on other matters that sort of fill us with anxiety and dread every day? Let us know that you're working toward justice.
Like voting
reassure
rights.
Us that you're going to hold these criminal politicians accountable,
like,
without disclosing any of the details of the investigation.
Yeah. Let me circle back to voting rights just before we go, because that's only everything, in my opinion. What should they be doing on voting rights? I mean, don't they have to do something stronger than send a letter to Arizona saying what you're doing is violating federal law? Because that's obviously not stopping them. Yeah.
Exactly, Steph. If you send a letter, that means you have a legal basis to send the letter. You don't just send it willy-nilly with no underlying support for it. So now, if you don't take the next step and intervene to address whatever laws are being violated in Arizona, then you have basically rendered yourself frivolous, right? Because then your letters are hollow threats and nobody's going to pay attention to them. So they better take the next step. And Steph, it's not just on voting rights. The legislatures around the nation are acting in a lawless manner, like passing a heartbeat law in Texas that is a direct violation of our Constitution, of a woman's constitutional right to privacy. If state legislatures, Steph, can start to act in a completely lawless manner, what's next? Are we going to see them go back on Brown versus Board of Education? And Texas is going to pass a law saying we now have a government-sponsored racial segregation in Texas. Come on and visit us, y'all. I mean, right. This is dangerous.
Yeah, and
this
how are they dangerous. Able? How is places like Texas able to tell businesses they can't, you know, they cannot ask people if they're vaccinated or cannot, you know, be sure their employees or customers are safe? I mean, it wasn't this the you can't mess with private business party, and now they're trying to mandate that businesses can't keep their employees or customers safe.
States can get away with whatever we let them get away with, and we can't let them get away with it.
Okay. And finally, just something to look forward to. You said, I've had many defendants who feign mental illness and their zeal to avoid trial. Mental health experts are very good at spotting when a defendant is malingering, pretending to have a mental health condition. If a judge ruled that Trump was not competent to stand trial, which wouldn't happen, in my opinion, experience, processes would kick in to restore him to competency, including mental health treatment, drug therapy, and competency classes. Trump will stand trial. Okay, I hate to end on a happy clappy. Despite... Oh. All right, Glenn, I feel marginally better, and that's the best we can do this morning.
Yes.
Thanks so much, honey.
Yeah.
I always appreciate your time.
Thanks, right. Steph. Love being with you.
All right.
Thanks.
There he goes. Glenn Kirshner.
Yeah.
Captain America. Okay, Malcolm Nance coming up. Just one superhero to another. Malcolm Nance coming up. Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
So let me drive my body around you. I bet you know what I mean. Cause you know that I can make you believe in love and sex and magic.
Oh, that's what we've had so far. Bob Seska, love. Glenn Kirshner, sex. Malcolm Nance coming up, magic.
Magic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then Hump Days with Hal.
Oh.
Which
oh.
is all three.
He's a legendary comedian on yes. Legendary Comedians Week.
Here on the Stephanie Miller Show, which will culminate in Lewis Black. On Friday. Right. I'm saying, right? Like, how bad can life be? Pretty bad this morning. Okay, Chuck Schumer, we just talked to Glenn about the this ridiculous Trump-sized hole in the Senate intelligence report.
Well, we do believe there ought to be a commission to go forward. They almost assiduously avoided the words, two words that are vital to finding out what happened on January 6th, Donald Trump.
Thank you.
The Republicans reportedly didn't want any mention of him at all. And to find out, I think we should find out if other members of Congress participated in this as well.
It is that Joyce Vance analogy. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, the planes flew themselves on 9/11. That's yeah. not important now. Yes, Vanity Fair. While the Senate report pours over security and intelligence failures and makes recommendations to prevent further collapse, it does not discuss the role Trump himself played. The language has to be carefully crafted by its authors to receive support from both parties. Did we look at Trump's role in the attack? A committee aide said, and the answer is no. An investigation into an attack that spends little or no time examining the person who incited it is fundamentally insufficient, but the Republicans have a vested interest in glossing over the role the former president and his allies played, which includes some of them, of course. Trump remains the head of the party, and more than 100 Republican lawmakers co-signed his efforts to overturn his November loss to Biden. Those in the GOP who have stood up to him have been effectively exiled, and the same lies that led to the storming of the Capitol serve as a foundation for a massive Republican-led voter suppression effort. It's okay. All right, we don't have time for this, Schumer, but yeah, Mitch McConnell, just right. Oh, everything's nothing more to see here.
God.
We can just move along now. Right. Oh, and also there is no more racism in America, so the voting rights laws is completely intact. It was not apparently not gutted by the Supreme Court, so I guess we must have just dreamed that.
But it was.
That's okay. Right. We will talk to Malcolm Nance about all of this next.
Strengthened the argument for an independent commission on January the 6th. We had a perfect opportunity to establish such a commission at the end of last session before Republicans mounted a partisan filibuster against it, despite the fact that the Democrats worked with Republicans for weeks in the House and Senate to construct a commission that was bipartisan, focused, straight down the middle.
Oh, God. You know what? There are not enough superheroes this morning. Which geek movie is that, Travis, where at the end they say we're going to need some more heroes?
That was at the end of Iron Man.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
We don't need another hero?
Captain Marvel.
So, all of them. Okay. But Bob Seska and Glenn Kirshner are not enough. We need, Aquaman. Who is Malcolm?
Frozone.
Let them... Let's dance to the sound with Steffi. Let's dance. Put on your big boy pants.
Yeah, not backwards either. He wears his pants the right way. Hi, Malcolm Nance. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
A little down this morning. We just talked to Glenn Kirshner about the DOJ. Yes, and one sad tear of a clown. Mm-hmm. What is your take on what's going on? I mean, yesterday was kind of, it was like a body blow, right? Between this Trump, as we keep calling it, the Trump-sized hole in the Senate intelligence report on January 6th. Mitch McConnell saying we don't need any more investigation. That's done. We don't need John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Civil rights, voting rights are intact. I mean, it was an up is down day. And then the DOJ. Continuing to defend Trump against, the rape allegation and E. Jean Carroll. I don't know what they're doing on voting rights other than sending a letter to Arizona saying this may be violating federal law. What is your take this morning on all of this?
I have this saying when I go around the world and people say, oh, are you going to go to that country? Isn't it dangerous? Aren't you going to go to this place? Isn't that dangerous? I have a saying that I use often. ISIS and terrorists are not my travel agents. And I'm going to apply that now to the Republican Senate. We should not be using them as the guardrail on what we should and should not do. I'm not equating them to terrorists, but I am equating them to people who have their own agenda. And if we meet their agenda on their terms, the way they want it, then all we're doing is neutering ourselves.
Yeah.
I was just on public radio here in upstate New York. And one of the discussion points that came up was, what's going on with Chuck Schumer? And we have a great radio host here named a radio analyst here named Rosemary Aramayo. And she said, quite simply, he's not Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
He is into the comedy of the Senate. He is into... wanting as much kumbaya as possible. There was actually a cartoon depiction of him and Nancy Pelosi on back when they had the President Show, and it was about Donald Trump, and it had her and him crafting a one sentence statement that came out into a 190 page document. And at the end, they go, "Oh, I think we got all of that right." No, we are in a situation where once again we can all see it. American democracy is at risk. And when I say at risk, we are in an existential crisis. The Republicans are going out for full-scale warfare in 2022.
Yeah.
They intend to take back the House, and they take back, if they can, damage the Senate. All they need is one person to defect, right? Or one person to get ill and die and get replaced by a Republican. and they've made it clear they'll end American democracy. They will impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on the first day, and then they will never again certify another victory for a Democrat.
And Malcolm, you said I wouldn't call them terrorists. Well, the people that attacked the Capitol are terrorists, and some of them enabled them, and some of them are still defending them. We just talked about the ones that just wrote to Merrick Garland to protest the treatment of the rioters. The same thing, oddly, as Glenn Kirshner just said, Vladimir Putin is doing, defending the rioters, defending the terrorists. I mean, this would be like going to bat for Al-Qaeda after 9/11. Like, you know, are they being treated fairly?
Well, you know, I can't recall where I heard this just recently, and I know it's probably MSNBC. But what we have is we are seeing a campaign for nullification of the insurrection.
Yeah.
I just wrote in this book that will be coming out soon. We'll soon get the cover art and we'll launch it here. But I just wrote in this book that they have a four-phase strategy that they're implementing. Deny, which is deny that Trump ever lost the presidency and that he still is the president. Deny that there was an insurrection and that it was just, you know, tourists and nice people going through, and deny that the Democrats have any legitimacy to govern. That's the first phase, deny. Then you have the attack phase, where they will blitz government and they will take back the House because we don't fight for it. Unless we do another 2018 and take 43 seats, we will lose the House in 2022. We're only, 10 seats out?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still mad at Joe Biden for appointing 3 or 4 congressmen to his cabinet when we could have kept those seats, kept that margin.
Yeah.
We lost seats in a year that we defeated Trump.
Yeah.
Think about that. It meant Democrats didn't care about voting down ticket. So now we may lose the entire game just a few years later to Trump. You know, I monitor their communications and their chat rooms and all that.
Yeah.
They're not joking about appointing Trump Speaker of the House in 2023. You know, you don't have to be elected to Congress to be Speaker of the House.
Yeah,
they are deranged in how they're thinking.
Well, I mean,
but they're like people who are not just deranged, clever and evil, and they will implement their plan. They've gone full Moriarty on us.
Yeah, listen to Mitch McConnell yesterday. We just played yesterday him during the impeachment. Donald Trump is practically morally responsible for January 6th. We have a criminal justice. He hasn't gotten away with anything yet. Here he is yesterday.
Today's report is one of the many reasons I'm confident in the ability of existing investigations to uncover all actionable facts about the events of January 6th. I'll continue to support these efforts over any that seek to politicize the process.
I mean, nothing more to see here. Nothing more to see here, right?
Let's go full Benghazi on this. Yeah. How many Benghazi investigations were there?
Yeah.
Everybody comes in, you're going to get grilled a minimum of 12 hours. You're going to get the full Hillary Clinton treatment. 4 people died in Benghazi from a terrorist attack. 2 of them were the actual quick reaction force that everybody claims was told to stand down, that came from Tripoli, 2 CIA subcontractors who were killed by a mortar. And by anybody who's been in the military knows, a mortar is an act of God.
Yeah.
You can't catch it. You can't stop it. 2 people were really killed in the terrorist attack. Now we have an incident in the Capitol by people officers who were actually defending Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Right? He has a private security detail, right? Kevin McCarthy, everyone else in there. These people were killed defending them or died as a result of that. One woman who was a protester was trampled to death.
Yep.
She literally died. Her last word. You will not believe it. When I wrote this story, when she was being crushed to death by the throng that were trying to kill Officer Mike Fanone, they were chanting mockingly, "I can't breathe." This woman was literally dying because she couldn't breathe because she was being crushed by a throng that came there to end American democracy.
Yeah.
She died that way. Ashley Babbitt was an Air Force security policeman who literally had red circles around their aircraft where they were required to shoot to kill. She, of all people, should have known what was happening when she was going to breach the speaker's lobby and the bodyguard was there pointing a weapon at them. They live in another universe.
Yeah.
And they want us to play in their universe? Let's stop playing in their universe.
Well, again, it's, you know, now the Republicans are basically parroting the same thing Vladimir Putin is saying. So Biden's meeting is coming up with Putin. Putin is obviously actively defending the rioters and saying they just had a political, you know, something, questions. So how does Biden deal with Putin? What's going to happen in that meeting? I mean, he's obviously deliberately stepping up the provocations, correct?
Sure. You're seeing a return to normalcy, and it's very important that the United States return back to diplomacy, right, and high-level power, you know, geopolitics, to get things back to normal. Coming in and doing foreign policy with a tweet and insulting your allies. Before Biden goes and meets Putin, he's going to have every one of his allies will be on the same page with him. Because if we're going to do further action against Russia, Russia needs to understand that this is not willy-nilly. They can go out and buy a president of the United States, which they did. They bought Donald Trump. In one way or the other, we're going to find out how, whether it was just through loyalty, ideology, some bizarre belief that he was a daddy figure for Donald Trump, or the promise of a multi-billion-dollar hotel. Right? That Donald Trump thought he was going to get with a spa, by the way, called Ivanka.
Oh, boy.
So all of these things are, we need to reset. Yeah. And Russia needs to understand that they're not playing with a child whose puppet strings that they can manipulate on a moment-to-moment basis. They fully, you know, they had a very, very willful asset in Donald Trump who was doing their bidding. Okay? He was not the Manchurian candidate. Right. This was the Manchurian candidate running on the platform that he would be Russia's Manchurian candidate.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was their asset. What's going to happen with Joe Biden here is they're going to get read the riot act. And as I'm starting to see quite happily, we are going after their money now.
Yeah.
And so the FBI.
And that was good. We got back some
cyber criminals.
We got back some of this money from the ransomware attack. Correct. Because it was cryptocurrency.
No. Yeah, but we know who's doing their ransomware attack now. We know their avenues of how they have to get their dirty, illicit money back in there. Hey, I am all for the global Magnitsky Act, which Bill Browder has been pushing, which is we seize your assets worldwide. If they're in the United States, that executive jet comes into the United States airspace, Air Force forces it down, it goes into the U.S. Air Force inventory. We take your mega yachts when they're on international waters with SEAL Team 6. We just go after all your resources. And people say, oh, that's a provocation against Russia. Hey, these are rich billionaires funding this, not the government of Russia. But when we take billionaire money, we're taking the government of Russia's money. They are the ones propping him up and keeping the KGB director in fresh baked croissants being flown in from Marseille every day on a private plane.
Can you find out who hacked our Facebook page in Russia and get it back for us?
No, you're... That was most likely an American.
Yeah, yeah.
Most likely an American. And let me tell you, they are the cyber volunteers of the Trump cult.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So quickly, before we go, do you agree with Glenn Kirshner? He still, despite, could not, you know, disagree more strongly with the Justice Department on the E. Jean Carroll case. He still thinks Trump is going to go down in the insurrection investigation. I mean, I think it was Frank Flaguzzi, your other friend, yesterday said it was not an intelligence failure. It was a failure to act on the intelligence we had. And
Correct. That's
going to go all the way to the top. And Glenn thinks that Trump will go down for that ultimately we are working our way to the top on this. What do you think?
Look, Trump is getting Al Capone treatment here. He is not going to be caught for the Saturday Night Massacre, Valentine's Day Massacre. He's not going to get caught on those things now. History will bring those things out. But he's going to go down the same way Al Capone. Tax evasion, fraud, all of these things to the point where he's going to be made destitute. His children will be made destitute. Oh. The saying? The wheels of justice grind slow, but they grind fine.
Yeah.
And as a man who understands a good espresso comes from the fineness of its grind.
Oh, boy.
And that's how we are going to consume.
Eric's teeth are going to be a problem.
Organization.
Okay. All right. I'm going to leave on that happy note. Malcolm, thanks so much.
And Stephanie enjoys a good grind.
I do enjoy a nice grind. All right.
I'm going to take some now.
I'll give you a fine grind when I see you again. All right. Love
promises,
you, Malcolm.
Promises. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Malcolm Nance, Malcolm Nance, while Stephanie dances with Paul.
Uh-huh.
I'll give him a fine grind.
Awkward.
48 minutes after. Oh, no, 49 minutes after the hour. And now we skip lightly to our next hunk, Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Coming up top of the hour.
And that's the way the news goes.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I guess we should mention we're having technical difficulties. We are on Free Speech TV and at stephaniemiller.com.
Right. We're just having problems with the audio to satellite and terrestrial radio.
Right.
So if you're hearing us and you want to hear us.
Right. If you can't hear us right now, here's how you can hear us.
Yeah. Just go to stephaniemiller.com. Scroll down a little ways to the Political Voices Network. It looks like a YouTube thing that you just click on. You can watch and hear us live.
I feel like if people can hear us saying this, they already are listening. Is it me? Am I being counterintuitive, Travis? Is that
they'll be able to hear and see us if they go to this link?
Or you can watch us on Free Speech TV, on Sling TV, on Roku, or on Apple TV.
And you can see the stress on Sean's face, or as a hate letter called him, Shane.
His camera's down.
Yes. His camera's also down. We're having it. Yes, I'm going to say it's the same bastard people that hacked our Facebook page and haven't given it back yet. We're talking to Malcolm about ransomware. We have one shiny penny. Oh, or we could regift you some stuff. We have things to regift that people give us that we don't want. That's all we have. We don't have
everything.
We don't have any money, but we have
T-shirts.
Yeah. How about one of my books? Sexy Liberal of Me, I Sing.
Bunch of DVDs sitting around.
There you go. Oh yeah, Sexy Liberal DVDs. What do you need? What do you got? I have some current TV hats in the garage. Talking liberally.
There
we go. Right. It was canceled. Well, it wasn't canceled. The whole network was canceled.
What? I have a couple of Talking Liberally mugs at home that
I
could throw in.
Can I take a moment to send a love letter to myself, Chris? Can I compliment myself for a minute? Anybody can have a show canceled or get fired from radio. I mean, that's like a Tuesday for me. There's very few people that can take down not one but two networks, which I have done. I've not just been canceled. I took down Oprah. I took down Oprah. I took down Oxygen, and I took down Current TV.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I didn't just get canceled. Take you all down with me.
This is not making a case for a new TV show.
I thought it was... Wasn't it Gavin Newsom that took down Current?
Yeah, I'm going to say that.
Or
Jennifer Granholm. That's who.
Well,
yeah.
Gavin Newsom, and now
she's Secretary of Energy. What am I?
They
in my basement.
Just given Gavin Newsom a new show when they canceled the network.
Well, that's right.
So
I'm going to say
it was
his
Gavin
fault.
Newsom.
Yeah, it was his fault. Does this lady have a show yet? Wait, did we find our clank sound effect? Because I got to hear this lady again.
She's magic.
This is an actual doctor? Dr. Sherry Tenpenny.
I mean.
Ohio lawmakers, this is the country we live in with the COVIDiots. Ohio lawmakers debating a bill that will allow anyone to refuse any vaccine for any reason would give them the right not to be discriminated against or even asked about their vaccination status. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny recognized as one of the world's top spreaders of vaccine disinformation. Oh, she fell after falsely claiming that 5,000 Americans have died from the coronavirus vaccine.
Computer says no.
She went on to say you're magnetic if you've had the...
Some of the information that I think had been discussed on your podcast related to EMF frequencies.
That was a thought.
And it was because now, because right now we're all kind of hypothesizing. I mean, what is it that's actually being transmitted that's causing all of these things? Is it a combination of the protein, which now we're finding has a metal attached to it? I'm sure you've seen the pictures all over the internet of people who've had these shots and now they're magnetized.
No.
They can put a key on their forehead, it sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them and they can stick because now we think that there's a metal piece to that.
No.
There's been people who've long suspected that there was some sort of an interface yet to be defined, an interface between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers. Not proven yet.
No.
But we're trying to figure out what is it that's being transmitted to these unvaccinated people.
Right. Oh, sorry. That's where I put that spoon.
Oh, you found the clank.
Yeah, my
Yay!
So she will be the new head of the CDC when Donald Trump is reinstated in August. That's Dr. Penny. Sen Penny. Right. Right. What is she a doctor of what?
BSology.
Bullology?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You
like
know
Dr.
Who can,
Phil.
You know who can make sense of it? Hal Sparks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hump Days with Hal next.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All of us as citizens have to recognize that the path towards an undemocratic America is not going to happen in just one bang. It happens in a series of steps.
America, you in danger, girl. I'm sorry, Mr. President. Yes.
I thought that there were enough guardrails institutionally that even after Trump was elected, that you would have the so-called Republican establishment who would say, okay, you know, it's a problem if the White House doesn't seem to be concerned about Russian meddling, or it's a problem if we have a president who's saying that, you know, neo-Nazis marching in Charlottesville, there are good people on both sides. You know, that's a little bit beyond the pale.
Okay, and finally.
A little.
I think we have to worry when one of our major political parties is willing to embrace a way of thinking about our democracy that would be unrecognizable and unacceptable even 5 years ago or a decade ago.
Okay, there's only one sign, one glimmer of light this morning. President Biden survived a brazen cicada attack caught on camera. As he made his way across the tarmac, he was attacked by a cicada who was no match for the president's quick reflexes and was dispatched with a swipe of his hand. Went much like Obama did to that fly.
With the fly.
That is the one sign of light. And the second sign of light is that on Legendary Comedian Week, is it Taekwondo Master? I think so. He's here.
Steffi.
Oh, it's
actually
heavy breathing, I hear. Why? Could it be?
The Hump Day.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
You're the only other superhero I know that could dispatch a fly or a cicada. Just,
that's true. If anybody doubts that, of course, they could always talk to Chris Bono, my comedian friend who opened for me on the road, who actually did live see me catch a fly with chopsticks. And that is a true story.
Okay.
And I'm just so grateful there was a witness that saw it happen because I hate to have to recreate it.
Did I get wrong? What is the martial art you are expert in? It is
Kung Fu. I studied Kung Fu for 27 years.
That is a dumbass fly. That's a dumbass fly that decided to test you.
Yeah, don't bring it. Don't bring it, Brundle. I'll take you down. Whatever, you know.
It is time to snatch the grasshopper.
I got your number.
The grasshopper from my hand. No, wait, the pebble.
That's right.
Okay, here's my point, Hal.
We are.
You're,
we need.
I understand. The social, just the generals will deal with it. I'll, right. You know what? I'm going to give you a checklist of all the just references you'll need to do just to get that in, for next time. Don't worry.
Okay. What my point is, I was holding out for a hero, and here you are. Because we are. This was a frustrating day yesterday, wasn't it? Between the DOJ, everything going on at the DOJ. Obviously the January 6th commission. Nonsense, voting rights. I know you're happy clappy like me, so please.
Yeah.
Help mommy.
No, well, there's a lot going to unpack in the voting rights aspect of it. There are three or four bills that are stacked up. The one that's going through right now and the one that Manchin's opposed to is the broadest one.
Yes.
The idea is that there may be a fallback one that covers most of what we're going to do, you know, that will be necessary to push back against the bills that are being passed across the country. I am a big believer that these bills that they are passing across the country are not effectively going to diminish the Democratic vote in 2022 or 2024, no matter how hard they try, because Democrats are going to be buttressed against it and focusing very heavily on making sure that if there's an ID issue in an area and you have to have one, we're going to make sure all the Democratic voters have one. We're, you know, if there's an issue with you can't go on certain days, we're going to make sure that the other days when you can go, there'll be plenty of ways to get people to the polls. Like, yeah. The Democrats are going to handle this. All of these rules, and I'm really convinced of this, all these bills that are being passed are not to countermand what they really believe was some sort of election attack last time, but because Trump voters that now make up a major portion of the party as it falls apart are not going to show up for an election they don't think is valid or will happen or will be stolen. And Trump won't let that go.
They didn't in New Mexico. Right. For Tim Holland's seat. We won in a landslide. Yeah,
that's right. That's all this is about. I am telling you, the Republicans are like, we're going to secure our elections from fraud. And there's that's just dealing with the big lie that Trump has been pushing. What do they do if they just let that stand? They have two options. They can respond to Trump saying that and going, that's not true. You lost there. We won legitimately. There's a lot of Republicans won their seats. You lost. That's how it works. These were legit and they will be next time. And we will run people and blah, blah, blah.
They
can do that, which they will never do.
Yes. And I liked,
I
was going to say, I liked your happy clappy tweet. You said 65 Dems in the Senate is a way better solution than hand-wringing over what West Virginia wants.
Exactly. Right. And the idea that anybody's like, the fact that we're having a conversation about getting rid of the filibuster is like this clamoring thing right now. When we have a 50-50 tie in the Senate, and you're wondering why people aren't racing to figure out, and it's already imbalanced. The Senate is already imbalanced in the favor of Republicans because these tiny little states with fewer people than Santa Monica, California, have two senators.
But what do you make of that? 70% of West Virginia wants the infrastructure bill Joe Manchin's not for. Nearly 80% want the voting rights bill he's not for. So when you say Virginia wants, what West Virginia wants is not what Joe Manchin's going to do. So what do we do about that?
Agreed. Well, the difference is that, like, that's why I think, quite frankly, that there is room for him to shift on this. He's just got to play footsie with the bipartisan thing for a while because of the nature of the voter and the activist class in West Virginia. Because, again, a lot of people are at they're more concerned about who they're running against next time. I Manchin's logic and how he's describing it is off the charts, but it is very West Virginia. Even though the state will say that, even though if you poll people in West Virginia, you're going to get the people who don't hang up. And that's not a significant member of the voting pool. Like, there's a lot of people who go, would you like to answer some questions about infrastructure? Click. But if that's a big part of, you know, dealing with the polls needs. But it's in line with the rest of the country. That's the reality. Republican voters are 60% for election reform and infrastructure. Yeah. 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 You know, all the things that Biden's going to push.
And you're 60%. You're from Kentucky, so you speak deedly state.
Yes, I do. I speak banjo.
Deedly deedly.
Right.
Okay. So this made no sense. Manchin met with civil rights leaders on the voting rights bill. Manchin called the meeting very, very good, respectful, informative. Then he said, no, I don't think anybody changed positions. We're just learning where everybody's coming from, and we're learning on everyone's position. I'm very much concerned about our democracy, protecting the people's voting rights, and making sure that's done, and making sure we know how fragile we are as a country. Are you going to vote for voting? No, I am not. Like, he says the right things, and then he writes.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. And he, it would be nice if he can't, or maybe seemingly can't clarify right now whether he means, I'm not going to vote for this bill, but if there's this bill plus amendments, or we're able to pare it down, or it doesn't cover certain things, their big fear in West Virginia and in a lot of these, especially rural states, is the idea of illegals voting. That is the single greatest lie pushed through all these races across the country. That is the primary one. And it is what drives people to pick people in primaries in a lot of these states, and including West Virginia. Right. It's baloney. It never plays out. But that's what that's literally the primary focus of what they're looking for in Arizona in the audit right now, is this idea that millions or hundreds of thousands of illegals voted is what they've been saying. And it isn't true. But anything in the bill along the lines of pushing back against voter ID or those kind of things is just grist for the mill for these people to make that lie stronger. That's the Democratic plan. They just want to see, they want to wipe out Republicans by allowing illegal voters. And that's what they're, and that will be the hanging part for a lot of this. Now, the real answer would be, of course, get everybody a national ID. That's a photo ID that you get for free from the federal government that allows you to, that works everywhere. Right. But the Republicans want it, but won't go for it because it's the mark of the beast and Satan and something about the Roman Empire and Christ.
Right. Blah, blah. Right. So
You
speak specifically, you speak specifically Kentucky. So here is Mitch McConnell on voting rights. Yeah.
The voting rights bill is intact. The law extends well into the future. What this rewrite of it does is grant to the Justice Department almost total ability to determine the voting systems of every state in America, which they're trying to do directly through H.R. 1. They would try to achieve indirectly through this rewrite of the Voting Rights Act.
He said the Supreme Court did not strike down the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, that's
really weird. He said it's still the law. What they struck down was the preclearance part of it that applied only to the southern part of the United States, which is where it was needed. But okay, because the Supreme Court concluded conditions that existed in 1965 no longer existed, so there's no threat to voting rights law. It's against the law to discriminate voting on the basis of race. So I think this is unnecessary. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Because, the day they said that might have been true. It certainly isn't now, because as soon as you turn the law off, the criminality comes right back. Right. That's the point.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what one judge said is laser focused on black people. It's like, oh, we're going to move the time on after souls to the poll day later. So they can't go right from church to the, I mean, it is laser. Look at what the post office did. They took drop boxes and mailboxes out of minority neighborhoods specifically. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's and ultimately, I'm telling you, from a Democratic side, the get out the vote. I don't think there's any better get out the vote motivator than trying to take someone's ability and right to vote away specifically based on their race, color, their sexual orientation, their gender, their, you know, whatever the immutable characteristics. Right. That I think everybody I know, that's the single motivating factor of somebody not taking that right away from you and doing it so egregiously. So I actually think from a motivational standpoint, as far as the volume of voters, this is just like running against Trump in a general, in a lot of ways, in 2022, that the voters are really going to come out.
Yeah.
The problems Republicans have is that there are like hillbilly white trash like myself who grew up in areas where they live in trailers up in the hills. It's a big, long drive to go in to vote. There's nobody's coming out there to help you vote and any of that stuff. So and those folks voted for Trump. There's more of them, just those folks, than there are total black people in the entire country. And those people will be just as affected by these changes the Republicans are making in the voter rolls in these red states, especially, more so than almost anybody else. So it's going to mute their vote. It's not going to help the Trump voter feel motivated to go back to the polls. He's not running next year. They know they're losing seats.
Yeah. And you obviously point out, too, just they don't care that they're just hypocrites on every subject. You tweeted, so Greg Abbott thinks the government can dictate what you do on private property for your own safety and the safety of your workers. And to codify that, he has passed a government regulation. Please tell me about liberty again.
Abbott's doing, you know, just like, you can't use vaccine passports or any kind of ID that references vaccines, which, by the way, airlines are doing. And that's nonsense. And you can't, it wouldn't hold up in court because one can do it and the other one can't. Like if I wanted to run as a restaurant, The idea that Rand Paul is part of the party that, you know, and Greg Abbott is in line with Rand Paul's belief systems, that they believe that if a restaurant wants to deny black people entry or a country club wants to deny Jews entry, they have the right to do that because it's private property and liberty comes first. Right. And they would just go out of business because the market
would
speak.
But you can't deny unvaccinated people, right? I mean,
right,
yeah,
exactly.
Right. Yeah. So it's
that's
just,
right. And yeah. Or ask people if they've been vaccinated if you want to enter your space because they're going to endanger them or your workers. And his response, the biggest part of this is his response is, I'm going to write a regulation to stop you from doing it, which is supposedly what they run against all the time, the
Thank
government
you.
Intervention.
Thank you.
You should be able to do your own thing. It's the weirdest, and it's all for the anti-vaxxer QAnon Trump crowd,
yeah.
who, by the way, believe that Trump invented the vaccine, but also
for the hoax.
They wouldn't take it.
Yeah,
yeah
for the hoax that doesn't exist, so they're not going to take it. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, all exactly.
Right. We're off to a
It's the dumbest.
We're off to a roaring hump days with Hal. 20 minutes after the hour, we roll along. It's Legendary Comedian Week here on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal Sparks.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's two critical pieces here that we won't get at anytime soon without a January 6th commission. One, of course, is exactly how Donald Trump and associated people, and I don't know who associated people are because we don't have a commission issuing subpoenas and getting to that, how they helped spark, how they drove, as Director Brennan said, what happened on January 6th. We need to better understand that.
Representative Jim Himes, one more real quick. Jim Himes yesterday.
The other piece that is not going to come up necessarily unless we really look hard at it, and this is a clear and present danger to the Republic today, is how is it that there are still tens of millions of Americans who believe that Donald Trump was denied the election, despite the fact that there is not a fact, not one fact that substantiates that belief. There are tens of millions of Americans who today believe that the president is illegitimate.
How, as long as we've been talking about politics,
yes.
We were saying... Yeah. This isn't even right or wrong, you know, red or blue right now. It's these people have taken leave of reality, right? I mean, it's just.
Oh, I.
Yeah.
100%. But the reason the Republicans are against a January 6th commission is because as bad as it looks for them to go against having one, the truth that will come out when they have one will be far worse. It will be, as much as this diminishes the party standing and makes them look like fools and makes them, to a lot of us, look un-American and willing to back an attack on our democracy, the reality is they are and they were. And a commission would show that. And so as much as it looks horrible, to say I'm pleading the fifth and I'm denying your right without a warrant to dig in my backyard, what you will find in the digging will make me get the death penalty. Therefore, no. And that's what we're talking about. That's the level of fear we're talking about, right? They are not letting them dig in the crawl space.
But you always have a, this is why I love you so madly, because you always have a way of getting to the happy clappy. You said the GOP is desperately trying to prop Trump up as a beacon to the base, and the real Donald Trump are on a collision course. I mean, we saw the real Donald Trump, and as you said, Trump makes FUPA trend. With his ramble at this. I mean, you're like this sad, desperate, pathetic, mentally declining, physically declining criminal.
Yes. And they have set up a political, they have thrown this Hail Mary already. And it is on its way to the end zone. And the person they are expecting to fall underneath and catch it magically in the end zone is someone who didn't even take off at hike and is wandering off to the buffet on the side to pour Gatorade on himself. Like there is no way that this lands anywhere positive in 2022 or 2024 for them. Yeah. And they're just watching this ball careen into the end zone to nobody.
Yeah.
And he's out there waving a tennis racket in the stands. And you have to understand, they know this worse every time he shows up in public, every time he talks.
Yeah.
they're more aware of it. It's more frightening, but they have to dig in.
Right. It does feel dangerous and out of control. And as President Obama just said, we thought there'd be guardrails and there's not. But I keep saying that too, Hal, as I keep going, I guess we should be glad that they're attaching themselves to him because he is a lunatic criminal who is either going to be indicted or, I mean, if he continues to decline physically and mentally, as we're seeing in broad daylight, I mean, it's
There's no there. And they're, right. but they are all in on it. They've got a 2, a 7, and a 1, like, and a bingo card. And they're like, I've got a flush. I've got aces. Like, they are riding on this, and they're just shoving the pile of chips into the center, going, no, really.
He speaks Vegas now.
Yes,
he speaks Vegas because he lives in Vegas. All right, Vegas, baby.
That's right.
29 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal continues.
We also need to thank President Trump. He's been right all along about this virus and about the origins. Dr. Anthony Fauci needs to get a lawyer because he is liable. I believe he's liable, criminally liable, for what has happened with COVID-19. That's why I wrote the Fauci Act and introduced it back in early April. Fire Fauci.
Mm. Oh, uh-huh. That would be Marjorie Taylor Greene now saying that it is obviously Dr. Fauci's fault and he needs to get a lawyer. Because, Hal, I keep asking this over and over again.
Uh-huh.
What difference does it make if it was a lab accident, bat to human, or a bat to a human? It all happened on Donald Trump's watch, and he was the only one complimenting China's transparency and saying they're doing a great job with this. So how is this?
And if it turns out that it was made in a lab on purpose, like some of the Marjorie Taylor Greene crowd are arguing, then Donald Trump was president during the biggest bioweapon attack in American history, and 600,000 people died while he sold them all of our beef, corn, and soybeans.
Yeah, that's what we're saying, Hal. That's the biggest story, is as part of his trade deal or whatever, he pulled all of our people out of Wuhan. He fired the one epidemiologist that was on the ground in that lab.
The more artificial, the more on purpose it gets, the worse it looks for his presidency. And it's very strange that they somehow think this makes Fauci's response look bad, considering, you know, in the analogy I like to use, like, you come across someone who's been shot.
Right.
Do you treat their wounds and save their life in that moment, or you go, hang on, and go look for the shooter while they bleed to death? No, especially if you're the doctor. The doctor treats the person, and then somebody else can go find out who did it later. But the goal is save the person regardless of how they got shot.
Right.
But they're not interested in that because they think they deserve it.
Why would they?
Yes.
Why would they release it on their own people? I don't. That's the flaw in that theory to me. Lab accident, I understand. Why would they release it on purpose? It's obviously and kill their own people.
Sure. Well, if you're evil, you can go into the idea that it was the northern Chinese against the southern Chinese, and this is a thing to move the Hans into greater parts of China, and that they were just wiping out certain areas down that way. I don't buy that, but you could go that way if you believe in. I mean, you have to understand, we're talking about QAnon folks, so they believe in a massive depopulation scheme that's run by George Soros. So I don't know that he, you know what I mean? I think he may have paid someone to do it. And then that person Seth Riched out of existence. And then there's going to be an answer because there doesn't have to be any reality for them.
Well,
they can create another lane of lunacy, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene can explain it more to us.
Sure. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in that type of so-called science. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in God. And these viruses were not making people sick until they created them and made them into weaponize these viruses to be able to attach to our cells and make us sick. This has caused so many people to die all over the world. This is a bioweapon.
Okay, so we have no evidence of that at all.
Yeah,
thus far, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, because they do gain of function research all over the world, including here. But
yes. But and by the way, it stopped during the Obama administration in that area. We stopped funding that. We funded security there, but the idea was that we were stopping them from doing gain of function. And then, of course, magically, when Trump got in office, it started again. It's yet to be answered whether Trump just did this as one of his anything Obama did is bad. Therefore, if he stopped a regulation or stopped a thing,
right,
then let's start it
so
again
that would
and vice
make
versa.
Trump more liable. Okay, one more.
Exactly.
QAnon Betty. Here we go.
You can call it, people can call it whatever they can for research and to create, vaccinations, but there's no need for a vaccine if the virus doesn't make the human population sick to begin with. So I think it's a very disturbing type of research. I think it, and I don't think our American tax dollars should ever be funding it. And so I have a problem with that from the beginning, and I want an investigation into it.
So that would be another investigation of Trump.
Yeah, and a support of the Obama Biden position while they were in office, while they were creating the pandemic response team, was the exact same time that they were stopping funding for gain of function research in other countries. We could do it over here because we felt like we were safe to do it, but we didn't trust other countries to do it safely, so we stopped funding it, and Trump turned it back on.
So as we were saying, when Trump is reinstated in August, Marjorie Taylor Greene will be clearly a cabinet secretary, and then the doctor that says we are people that are vaccinated are magnetized and have spoons and keys sticking to them, so that lady will be the head of the CDC. An alternative path would be the Florida scientist who formerly ran the state's COVID-19 dashboard. Member was fired and shut down by front. She's running against Matt Gaetz. Rebecca Jones. I love this.
Or whatever placeholder is there when he goes someplace that's more physically confining, let's just say.
Right. He's gray, indisposed.
Boxy.
Yes.
Well, yeah, right. He's got bars. You know,
in the meantime,
and not the kind he likes.
Hal, we were saying there's this new variant that they're warning about, which now, what are they calling it? It came from India.
The Delta
variant is, Hal, we are in a critical spot that we could very well have another wave because of these idiot governors like DeSantis and Greg Abbott.
I'm amazed by
any means necessary. We are a dumb country that we need to bribe people with beer and donuts and French fries and other things that will kill you to get something that will keep you alive.
Money.
Or guns in West Virginia to get. Okay, at least where's my stoner music? Washington State, at least, they're offering joints for jabs. One of the ways to get vaccinated in Washington State is at a cannabis retailer, which offers a poke and a toke with every COVID jab. It will allow licensed marijuana retailers to give a pre-rolled joint to each person who gets a COVID vaccine. The incentives, called Joints for Jabs, is available till July 12th. Authorities are pushing to have 70% of adults vaccinated at least with the first jab by the end of June. When the target is met, the governor says he will remove the remaining coronavirus restrictions. The state's Liquor and Cannabis Board has also allowed beer, wine, and cocktail incentives, pokes for pints. As I keep saying,
Nevada going to do a pokes for pokes?
You're in charge of Nevada. I don't know. Arizona is doing snacks for vax, in which marijuana you get joints and edibles.
Oh,
which I think is right because you have the munchies, so at least they're following up.
Right.
Then,
I hope they spelled snacks SNAX.
Right. AX. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're in charge of whatever happens in the
desert. Vegas. I now run the desert. Great.
Yeah.
Pokes for pokes. Yeah.
By the way, I'm for all this kind of stuff, but we know in reality that the numbers nationwide are going to affect how businesses can reopen and all that kind of behavior. But in reality, they are going to be completely imbalanced from urban to suburban to rural areas. And as the Trump supporters who make up the vast majority of the people who are not going to get vaccinated or refusing the vaccine for whatever reason, because they believe he doesn't get credit for making it happen, but they wouldn't let it enter their body because it's the mark of the beast.
Sure.
And they believe Mike Lindell. The spectrum of thought there, the bifurcation of thought is amazing, but they're going to be the ones that get sick and die.
Yeah.
And it's going to spike. It's going to keep the number, that 500 number we're seeing every day, is because a 3% rise in infections in red states and places where people aren't getting vaccinated.
We just did a study that places like California were doing way better on infection rates and economically than the states like Florida and Texas that did the opposite.
I mean,
California's GDP went up 1.43% during the pandemic.
And we have the lowest infection rates in the country now. So it's you know, we have these laboratories, and I keep saying how enjoy your carrots now, because the sticks are coming, I hope, as soon as it gets full FDA approval. You cannot tell me that it should not be required everywhere on planes, on cruise ships, and businesses.
Well, if you
want to
go if you want to go anywhere or be a part of life, in a lot of ways, especially like measles and, you know, and thankfully we eradicated smallpox for all practical purposes. But measles itself is, you know, when there's an outbreak and when it's deadly of a disease we have a vaccine for, and we know you have to have it, you must get the vaccine for your kids to go to school. It's unvaxxed kids that are bringing it, or, you know, are having parties where they're like, well, I'll get measles and chicken pox and who cares? Right.
Right. This new variant, Hal, is spreading mostly in 12 to 20 year olds in the UK.
Right.
And that's why they're saying, you know, Biden is saying, please, young people, everybody 12 and up, parents, you should be getting your kids vaccinated, because kids are getting it and spreading it.
Yeah.
It's the variant.
Right.
So, Stevie in North Carolina, you're on with Hal. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? I was just calling, Stephanie. Hi, Hal. I love you. I'd like to talk about it. That's not why I'm calling. I'm calling because I know you've been freaking out a lot, Steffi. I know you have with all of the stuff that's going on. But and also listen to Glenn Kirshner on his video yesterday. He was out of his mind, too. You got to understand, the crimes that this man committed are legion. We know that. And as the saying, if you go for the king, you best not miss. I really believe we got the right person for the job in Garland. I believe that he's looking for certain things to really go after him. Do you really think this case would have taken him down? I don't think so.
Which one? We talk about E. Jean Carroll?
The case with that they said that they're going to start defending him on. Do you think that case would have taken him down? Do you think the other case?
Well, it's not a question of... that's the thing, is we don't do the Justice Department like he did. I'm not doing it for vindictiveness or payback or going after, you know, political enemies or whatever, right, Hal? It's because it's the right thing to do. Because
exactly.
He raped someone, allegedly, and then smeared her, and that is not a part of his job as president.
And it's not... That is right. It does not fall under his capacity saying the mean things that he said about it. Now, the realm that they're operating in is that dismissing them, you know, whatever language you use, the material thing that he did as far as court is concerned is that he dismissed the claims against him outright. Right. The fact that he was libelous or slanderous during that is another measure entirely. The fact that he said this is ridiculous, I would never do something like that in base, and used awful language on top of it. Garland and the DOJ are defending the president's ability to push back against any and all. It's a blanket statement to protect the presidency in those terms.
Yeah.
Here's the issue, though. We're about a week away from Trump saying it again as a private citizen. And the case will take off, and the DOJ won't protect him. The other thing is that this shouldn't survive up the chain. There's a difference between saying something, you know, as this goes through the court, and it will, and the DOJ will have to defend it to some degree. But again, this is an example of the Biden White House, the administration, stiff-arming the DOJ and saying, do what you have to do. I'm not going to participate in your decision-making process. And so that the ultimate news of that is that the Biden administration is not taking the reins of the DOJ and making them do things for political reasons.
I just think
that will play out a lot.
Yeah, you can't create the precedent, Hal. That's why I think you can't let the 10 counts of obstruction of justice against Trump in the Mueller report go. You can't just create the precedent that the attorney general can lie to Congress, to the American people, to the court, as he did. I mean, that's all I'm saying is that, you know, to me, it's not. Here's the difference. Bill Clinton, I understand you're protecting the office of the president. Bill Clinton, they went after unfairly for, you know, investigating his private life for a consensual affair with another adult.
Right.
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This is rape.
I agree.
And then defaming
someone.
It's
a totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miles apart on the moral level, miles apart on the legal level. And the level of hypocrisy, if you want to peak the meter on hypocrisy about, you know, consensual versus non-consensual behavior, this is it, especially since they run Trump as Trump. Listen to me. They run Trump as the.
No, you were right.
Jesus, yeah, honestly, they run him as the Jesus candidate, as the family values candidate. The irony that they're still trying to mask the entirety of the Republican Party with this dude is grotesque. And there will be a comeuppance for it. Meanwhile, Merrick Garland and the rest of those guys are getting ducks in a row about a lot of things, and they are allowing the SDNY the ability to go after what they're doing, and they're getting material support, but not political direction. And they're doing everything they can, and I think this was part of it, to distance themselves so that some judge, some random Trump appointee judge, wouldn't throw the whole thing out in the other courts about him. Out simply because it looks like the DOJ is weaponizing itself, to, you know, on the same level that we got rid of
right.
assault
I hope that,
weapons in California.
I hope now they can make the case they're being more than fair when the hammer, the big hammer, comes down. Which is
that's right. What, that's what, I think that's
which,
the
which,
end,
which
the
ladies
long game.
Ladies refer to Hal Sparks that way, but it's a different thing. It's a, it was a, it's an on the road thing. We don't talk about it.
Right.
48 minutes after the hour, we roll along with our final segment of Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the on the Stephanie Miller Show. Please, Hammer, don't hurt me.
Of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks, legendary comedian work. Week continues. Paula Poundstone on Monday.
Yep.
Louis Anderson
Yay!
Yesterday. Hal Sparks today. We end the week with Louis Black on Friday. Right. I mean, come on. Yeah. Okay, we apologize. We hopefully will be back on the air. Tony's here, which is very... we are on Free Speech TV on StephanieMiller.com. We are having technical difficulties with the satellite and terrestrial radio.
Right.
I did not, Travis... a Russian hooker under there and knock a cord out.
Okay. Are you sure?
Where's my Russian music, Hal? I don't know. Suspecting Russian honeypot prostitutes. I am very lonely after COVID lockdown. But they're targeting tech executives in Silicon Valley, not here. West Coast is seeing a full-on epidemic of espionage. Russian and Eastern European prostitutes may be getting money from Russia to target high-powered techies in an establishment known for so-called cougar nights on Thursdays.
Oh, my God.
I did not have cougar night under the board, Shane. I did not.
Well, this was in Silicon
We have all...
This was in Silicon
I'm just
Valley.
Saying... Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we... Right. We have...
I couldn't hear you. What?
Here it's Silicon Valley.
Thank you.
Oh,
that was a good
Valley,
little joke.
Yes.
And you know what? That was three tries, and that was good that you made three tries at that joke, and that was now, and it was worth it.
It was worth it. Yeah,
not really.
Yeah. For the record, am I the only one that's aware that we have all died and gone to the 1970s era of James Bond movies?
Yes.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Like literally, like hello, Mr. Bond. Have you met Natasha? Oh, damn it! You got me again. Yeah, Blofeld.
Boris.
That's not what I thought it meant. it's better than pen guns and assassins coming in from the ceiling.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Got a blow dart in the neck.
I was hit with a pee dart.
My Facebook page.
It made
another
me,
dart
it made
in the
me
neck.
Drowsy. And pillow talk as a weapon again.
Yeah, someone hacked our Facebook page. We still can't get back in, and we don't have any cryptocurrency or any other kind of currency. So good luck getting anything. Blood from a stone comes to mind. Okay.
Well, when the woman shows up and be like, hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
I heard you like a wine, so I brought some over. If you'd like to, can I come in?
I don't drink anymore.
Oh, what a mess.
See?
Then
they did sucky
research. I'll drink
research.
It. You can watch.
I've been dry for a year and a half, so that's sucky research.
Yes.
I hear you're lonely.
It is. Well, yeah, right. You look. Perhaps I can dust for you in little outfit, right? Oh, it got me.
I am a honeypot target. I will say that.
I, honest to God, I know a decent number of white hat hackers and that crowd.
Yeah.
You know, being named after a computer.
Sure.
I tend to have friends in those circles, and a couple of them, suspiciously, and I didn't know how to have these conversations with them. Had Russian wives all of a sudden, and almost at the same time.
Hmm.
And they just met this really nice, and really nice, and it's just such a great, and it's really nice, and who would expect such a thing, Mr. Bond? Right. And I'm like, this is not an accident, guys, that you, on opposite coasts, met,
Can I say before we go, watching Trump with whatever situation was happening in his pants, which was a lot, is I just kept thinking of Hal Sparks, Donald Trump, as Hannibal Lecter and the whole diaper wig situation. But I have the tiniest of violins. So he's relocated to Bedminster in Jersey. He slips into his Manhattan to work out of Trump Tower at least once a week. Most of his longtime employees are gone. So are most of the family members. He works there mostly alone with two assistants. A couple of body men. His political cooperation has dwindled to a ragtag team of former advisors. Oh, the most senior advisor is that wackadoo from what's it called? OAN
or
American New? Who, Christina Bob, who talks about the fraud in Arizona with him. He's just such a sad, pathetic little creature now, isn't he?
Desperately wants.
Yeah.
You know, like, he wants big tech. He derides big tech and big media. And yet that's what he really wants. He wants to be on Fox and CNN and have them care, or Forbes and all that stuff. But he's stuck giving interviews to Chanel Rion in front of a backlit, like, overlit window in his own office on OAN.
And
you know,
he just lost his top fundraiser. She organized the Save America rally on January 6th. She was just fired and or quit. It really is pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, the Republicans have thrown this Hail Mary to this dude, and this is where it's going to land, in an empty office in Manhattan that he doesn't even go to anymore because he can't pay the light bill. And he's going to, and two of his properties are going to be in probate by middle of next year. Get used to the idea.
Hal Sparks is the only way to endure it all.
Yes.
How can we add Hal? Well, follow him on Twitter, but you do your thing every day.
Go to fwank.com, FWANQ.com, and subscribe to my Twitch channel, and of course, patreon.com/Hal Sparks, and of course, infotainmentwars.com will take you to my YouTube page.
Love you, Hal Sparks.
Love you. Tomorrow.